I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. I love hearing the pages of your Bible turning. It shows that you're those who want to see for yourselves what God is teaching, and that's good. Matthew 9, we're going to start with verse 18. It says, "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.' So Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Now we're going to put that part of the story on hold until next week, because this is a two-part story. And it's divided. It's like a story within a story, because as he's en route to this to heal the ruler's daughter, something happens along the way, and that's what we're really focusing on here today. Verse 20 says, "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem or the tassel of his garment, for she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.' But Jesus looked around when he saw her and said, 'Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well.' And the woman was made well from that hour." Now what you've gotten there was a couple verses of very, very brief story, and we're going to expand it by going to Mark. So if you'll just turn to Mark, which is the next book to your right, Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read the more detailed account. We start in Matthew because that's the book we've been studying, but we want to get the whole story here. So Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and we'll be working our way through the rest of this passage today. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction." Now, before we work the rest of the way through, we need to stop and just take a look at this woman's painful situation that she was in. The word in the original language for flow of blood was hemorrheo, which is hemorrhage. So she had this hemorrhage of blood. Experts that have looked at this say that it was probably a period that just didn't stop. Some kind of a uterine disorder for 12 years. Now, obviously this is going to be a very miserable condition. She would have been feeling weakness, anemia, cramping, bloating, miserable. And just how the men reacted in her life, I think we'll leave that for another time. But obviously, it was miserable for everybody. Can you imagine 12 years? But to top it off, even worse than that, was the fact that she was considered ceremonially unclean. Notice what I have up on the board or on the screen for you. Leviticus 15, what it said was the way that a woman should be treated or should be related to during this time. It says, "When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just in the day as in the days of her period. Any bed she lies on while her discharge continues will be unclean, as is her bed during her monthly period, and anything she sits on will be unclean, as during her period. Whoever touches them will be unclean, must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he will be unclean until evening." Now, these cleanness laws were to stop the spread of disease, but you can imagine how it felt to be the person unclean. This woman would never be invited over anybody's house because she would make the place unclean. She couldn't lie in a bed. She couldn't sit in a chair. She could not be touched. Her friends would need to stay away from her. If they touched her, then they would have to go and wash and be unclean until evening, meaning they needed to be in isolation till evening. And so this woman was not only dealt with the physical ramifications of this, but she also had to deal with a societal rejection. It felt like rejection. Even if people still loved her and cared for her and related to her well, she still felt not only her own discomfort, but she felt people keeping their distance so they would not be defiled. So they would not too have to be quarantined. A very difficult circumstance, to say the least. And it says here that she had suffered at the hands of physicians. Now, those of you who have been dealing with any kind of illness at any time in your life, I was talking to someone today who's had back problems, chronic back problems, and I bet that they could relate to the fact that they've suffered many things at the hand of physicians. Now, I don't have anything against physicians. I grew up in a physician's home. I have high respect for the medical profession, but there is a reason why they call it practicing medicine. Doctors don't have all the answers. They just plain don't. A lot of times the doctors will experiment. Well, let's try this. They've got the best knowledge available, the best schooling available, but still we don't know everything. And the doctors back in that time had less information than the ones today, and they didn't know everything, but they kept trying. And she suffered many things at the hands of physicians. As we look into the Talmud, shares some of the various types of remedies. They would have tonics, nasty tasting tonics that they would drink that was supposed to cure this thing. They had different types of astringents and other things that they were supposed to rub on their bodies to supposedly help. They even had some rather kooky ideas, like if you carried the ashes of an ostrich egg in a linen cloth through the summer, that would help. Or in the wintertime, carry those ashes in a cotton cloth, then that would help. Also, they were to take the barley corn from a female donkey's dung and carry that around with them. I mean, crazy stuff. This poor woman had been through it. And she was tired. And it says that she just grew worse. Nothing helped. It got worse. So you can begin to relate to how she must have felt. But it says here that she touched the hem or the tassel of his garment. When we were on vacation this summer, we visited a friend of mine named Mark Martin. He's a pastor of a church in Phoenix. And he had done extensive study. He shared some research with me that I'm going to share pieces of it with you today. Just fascinating information about this tassel. But before we get to that, I want to read a little bit more of what it says here. It says in verse 28 says, she said, "If I may only touch his clothes, I will be made well." Or as other places in the gospel say, "Touch the hem of his robe." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. She felt healed immediately. I've talked to people who have had physical healing. And many times they will say they knew instantly. They could feel something go through their body. They knew that they were healed. They knew it instantly. One man who was healed of cancer described it as if someone had poured hot honey on the top of his head and it just went all the way down through his body, felt warm all over, knew instantaneously that he was healed. Others have talked about how they just felt a rush of some kind of a sensation. Anyway, she knew, she could tell that she had been healed immediately. And then it's interesting to notice Jesus' reaction. In verse 30 it says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging, and you say, who touched me?'" This was totally in the natural, a crazy thing to say. In the natural, in this crowd of people, massive groups of people trying to squeeze through these narrow streets of the cities. And in the midst of this, jostling and pushing and shoving, he says, "Who touched my clothes?"
crazy, except he sensed something move through him. Some of the people involved in prayer ministry and others may know specifically what this is talking about. If you've been praying for somebody, there are times when you're praying for someone and you'll just sense God is doing something. There may be time when you're speaking. There's times when I'm up speaking and I just feel like a warmth come over me, and I know that this isn't Greg now. This is God doing something. Because sometimes it won't even be something that's in the notes. It's just something that God does. There's that sense of something, God flowing through. People experience it different ways. But Jesus knew at that moment that God was up to something. Remember, he didn't come as divine. Yes, he was fully divine, but he was also fully human. And he came depending, he did his actions depending on the power of the Spirit. And so he, like us, would sense when God was using him. And he sensed that power go through him. Well, as we read on, it says, he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Daughter, he said, your faith has made you well. Let's look at this faith for a little bit. Where did this woman get the idea that she could touch his clothes and be healed? Was this some kind of a superstitious thing? Certainly a better idea than carrying around a barley corn or an ostrich egg. Was it superstition? Where was this faith coming from? What was so significant about her faith? These are things that we just need to take a look at today in a little Bible study. And I hope that you have your Bibles ready, because we're going to do quite a bit of Bible surfing today. Okay, so have your Bibles ready. The first place we're going to look is in Numbers chapter 15. And if you go to book of Genesis, first book in the Bible, make a right turn. It's book number 4. There's Genesis, then Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. Book of Numbers. Chapter 15 and verse 37. It says here, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generation, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them. You may not follow the idolatry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. And you remember to do all the commandments and to be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So there was a special garment or outer robe to be worn by God's people. And this outer garment, outer robe, was called the tallit, this special robe. And it was to be worn by the covenant people of God. In other words, these were the people that God had called and were responding to that call. And at that time, it was the children of Israel, worn by the covenant people. But by the time of Jesus, it had been abbreviated, shortened, made a little bit easier to wear, into what is called a prayer shawl. And you see a picture of one up there. And I was just given one today, which is real exciting. A prayer shawl that would be worn like this, with the tassels on the bottom. These tassels were called tzitzit. Little tzitzit tassels for the corners of the garment. There was in each one a blue thread. Now this one doesn't have a blue thread, and we'll explain about why later. There was a blue thread to be worn. First of all, the blue thread was to symbolize heaven because woven in with the white, the blue thread reminded the people of God that heaven was in store for them. The blue thread, the winding with the white thread, was to remind them of the commandments of God. There were 613 commandments of God in the first five books of the Bible, known as the Law or the Torah. And so these 613 windings, if you look at these things very carefully, there's all these little windings, were to remind them of the commands of God. And finally, the blue thread coming through was to remind them of the coming Messiah, the only one who would perfectly keep the law. This was not intended just to show them that they could be good enough in their strength, but to remind them of the Holy One who would come, the Messiah, the one who would perfectly keep the law. Look at Isaiah. Well, we'll do it later. I'll save that for later. But Isaiah 61 talks about the robe of righteousness. And it's a messianic prophecy, and it talks about how when we are in the Lord, that we have His robe of righteousness, or and the robe is talit, His talit of righteousness. Jesus would come, live a perfect life, and that perfect life provided a robe of righteousness. So it was to symbolize or to remind them of the coming Messiah. Now you notice that this is a full Israeli prayer shawl, and there's no blue in the tzitzit. It's very hard to find prayer shawls with the blue in them because most of the Jewish people have lost sight of the meaning of the blue, which was the Messiah. Now, these windings also spelled something. There was, in the way that the numbers are in Hebrew, by number they spell out Yahweh is one, or the Lord, Yahweh, personal name of God, is one. The Lord is one. But the word for Lord, Yahweh, is plural. And so it has within that concept Trinity, meaning that you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one in purpose, one in motive, one in plan, one in all of those things, but yet three persons individually. And then the windings also spelled something else, heart. So our God is one, but He has a heart. His heart is for His people. He is interested in a relationship with covenant people. It is not about a distant, but it's a personal God who has a heart for each one of us. So whenever they would put on their robe, their talit, with the tzitzit hanging to the side, they were reminded of the Messiah. They were reminded of the one who would cover them. They were reminded of the one who would come and live perfectly the law for them as covenant people of God. And they would be reminded that God was interested in a personal relationship with God. He's not distant, but He's near. Now, the corners of this garment, very interestingly, look like wings, and it's the same word in Hebrew. When you hold your arms out like this, looks like wings. Jesus would have worn one of these. He was an observant Jew. He was a rabbi. He would have worn his talit with the tzitzit to the side. They would have had blue thread. Jesus would have been wearing that this day as He's walking through the crowds. Now, what's the significance of that? We're going to look at another Bible verse. Go to the book of Matthew and go backwards one book. Back to Matthew and then backwards one book to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. There's actually about a 400-year gap between Malachi and Matthew, but it looks like no time on the pages. Malachi wrote this about 400 years before Christ. And in verse 2, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the last chapter of Malachi, he prophesies about the Messiah. It says here in verse 2, But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, that's another name for Jesus. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with what? With what? With healing in his wings, with healing in his tzitzit. The Son of Righteousness will arise. It's a messianic prophecy talking about the Messiah with healing in his wings. And so now we begin to take a look at why this woman believed that if she could just touch the tassel of his garment, she would be healed. It wasn't an ordinary robe that Jesus was wearing. It was his covenant robe. It was the robe that pointed forward to the Messiah. It was, in fact, his wings. And as she had been watching and observing what was going on, maybe hearing stories or maybe even seeing with her own eyes about how Jesus came and healed, Isaiah chapter 35 said the Messiah would heal. About delivering captives from bondage, Isaiah 61 said that the Messiah would set people free. How blind people saw, Isaiah 61 says, sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. When she saw those things happening and heard that those things were happening and was convinced that Jesus was Messiah, she said, ah, if I just touch his wings, if I can just touch the tzitzit, I will be healed because the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. See, this was no superstition. This was based on the Bible promises of what God would do. And so Jesus says, great is your faith. Your faith has healed you. You've grasped on to the promises of God. You've recognized me as your Messiah, and healing has come. That's where your healing came from. Now, it's a powerful imagery. But there's also a personal devotional imagery that I'd like for us to look at today. And if you'll just turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms is right about the middle of your Bible. It's a fairly good-sized book. Shouldn't be too hard to find. Book of Psalms. And we're going to go to chapter 36. Psalms chapter 36. We're going to start reading with verse 7. Psalms 36, verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. By the way, the word loving kindness is usually describes the part of God that like it, whereas loving kindness is like the motherly aspects of God, the one who holds us and so there are these aspects of God that are He's nurturing as well as fatherly. But here it's saying, focusing on the fatherly aspect of God, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. It was Jewish tradition on Friday evening, ushering in the Shabbat, for the Jewish father to invite his children to come. And one by one, he'd put them under his tzitzit, the corner of his tallit, and he would bless them. This is a picture of our dad putting us under his blessing and blessing us. When he sees you, he's delighted and he loves to bless you. You are blessed with a father's blessing. Even if you grew up in a home where you had a dad that wasn't a really good dad, or maybe he wasn't even there at all, you have a heavenly dad that brings you under his wings and blesses you. Let's go over a few pages to Psalm 57:1. Psalms 57, verse 1.
The
Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take my refuge till these calamities have passed by. Are you feeling harassed? Like everything's going wrong, troubles are breaking all around you? A God, our Father, who loves to call us to Himself, and He says, take refuge next to my heart. Take refuge under my wings. There's refuge, a place of safety. Let's go to 61:4, Psalm 61:4. It says, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. This is a classic example of Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry didn't rhyme by sound. It rhymed by repeating the same thing over. It was a repetitious kind of thing. And so tabernacle and wings are the same. The tabernacle or the tent referred to the place that God dwelled. This was written by David before there was a temple built. And the place where God dwelled among them was in the tabernacle. And they would go to the tabernacle and worship. And there was the presence of God. What this is saying is that the presence of God is with you wherever you go. And that you are under His shelter. You are in His tabernacle. You are in His presence all the time. No matter where you go, God is with you. No matter what you do, God is there. Jesus is with you. 63, verse 7. Psalm 3, verse 7. Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. See, worship springs forth from under the wings. When we're in that place near the heart of God, when we're in that place of protection, when we're in that place of nearness to the Father, when we're close to Him, praise just spontaneously comes from that place of rejoicing and safety. And it's under those conditions that David wrote psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm. He's always talking about being under the shelter, under the wings. Psalms 91, verse 4. Excellent psalm to memorize. Again, talks about some of the spiritual warfare that we encounter. Psalms 91, verse 4. Says, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will take refuge. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. He will cover you with His feathers. The picture, the imagery is when there's trouble, mother hen cries out, and little baby chicks run and they get under her wings, and she protects them. A place of safety and protection. And so the Father says, when you're in trouble, when things are going bad, when everything seems to be falling apart, run to Jesus. When your very heart seems to be damaged and you're struggling and you're hurting and you're alone, come to Jesus. Don't try to go it on your own. Like a little chick runs under the shelter of the wings, so we can run to Jesus. And finally, let's look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah is just over a few books to the right. It's a fairly large book, should be easy to find. Isaiah chapter 61. And this is the messianic prophecy, the whole chapter is about the Messiah. And then Isaiah 61, verse 10, says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. See, under His wings there is rejoicing and worship and praise. And then it says, "For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe," or the talit, "of his righteousness." And so when God looks down from heaven, here's what he sees. He doesn't see me with all my failures, with all my struggles, with all my hurts, all the sins that I seem to keep falling into and get tangled up in. What he sees is the perfect righteousness, the robe of Jesus' righteousness. He sees perfect righteousness when he sees you, and he sees perfect righteousness when he sees me. And that is how it's possible, because Jesus came and lived a perfect life so that the moment we open our hearts up to the Lord and say, "Forgive me, Lord, I've run from you. I'm tired of running. I'm coming back home." He puts over us his robe of righteousness, and the Father looks down and he sees that talit and he says, "That one's mine." They're perfect in the eyes of God. That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news, that there is healing in his wings, that there is room under his wings for every one of us, that there is protection under his wings, and that there is righteousness under his wings. And so come to Jesus. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to carry the burdens of life by yourself. Come to Jesus. Under the shelter of his wings, find refuge. Find righteousness. Find protection. Find rejoicing. Find blessing under the shadow of his wings. I want you to just meditate on this for just a moment as we show you this just little video clip, a meditation on being under his wings. Talit covers us, that we are free and we have hope and we have your heart with us always. Lord, we're running to you right now. Let us live in your presence. In Jesus' name. Find someone that you've not met before, if you would, and just welcome them. God bless you.